Amen. Thank you. Excuse me. Good morning. I did a little bit of yelling this morning, so my voice is got a little bit of a crackle in it, but that's okay. I want to thank the elders for the privilege of speaking with you today, and I want to honor our musicians, our musos. Many of you don't know, they meet on Monday nights now and practice their hearts out for a couple of hours, but that time was just a wonderful setup for what God has for us today. I wanted to say to you that how many people here have had joy? Yeah. I've had joy, so much joy, that I could barely stand up because my stomach was so sore from laughing because of a touch of God's presence. And I think that God wants to release joy in our hearts today. In addition to fire and wind, I have a confession to make with regards to that song, Mighty Breath of God. I think I'm up to 97 plays on my iTunes or so. There's something about that song right now. It's a now song in God for us. And it's something that God is doing. He's breaking those ceilings over us. And heaven is open to us. I'm not sure, this may be just a touch loud. It sounds a little loud to me up here, but I may be wrong. What I would like to talk to you, does anyone know what a hallmark is? Yeah? It's a distinctive characteristic or attribute. It's also a stamp in England. It's a stamp on gold and silver that denotes a certain quality. Today I want to talk to you about that joy is a hallmark of the heart of an apostolic church. I want to talk to you about joy today. And we're going to, please open your Bibles to Philippians, okay? You can get there. We're going to get there right away. We're not going to waste any time. We're going to read the Word of God today. I am so thankful for the Word of God that it is good for us to hear it. So Philippians 1, we're going to read 20 verses or so. So get there. Okay, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear through the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. We'll stop there. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the truth of your scripture, Lord, and we thank you that for what is said here. And Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes to what is being said here today. We're talking in the continuing in the series of the heart of an apostolic church. And like is up on the back there, joy is something that is a hallmark of the apostolic church. Nelson's Bible Dictionary says about Philippians that the focus of Paul's thoughts in this epistle is Christ-centered life, the hallmark, which is joy. Joy is something that should be part of our lives. Now, how many people know life happens? Life happens, doesn't it? There are wonderful things. I had a wonderful thing happen in my family. One of my nieces had a baby girl. Think of the joy that there is when something like that happens. Think of the joy that people that are expecting have in anticipation of a newborn. Think of getting married. I was very happy to get married. I was more than happy. I was joyful to get married. There's many, many things. But there's also times in our lives when things are tough and they're difficult. So what we want to do today is we want to look at these verses in Philippians, because there's some stuff here that we can get from it that will show us that the Philippian church and Paul, who was their father in the faith, he was the one who first went out there in Acts 16, that there are things that they're joyful in, even because of the place that they're in. We're going to see today that there is actually joy in suffering. That's not the greatest thing to start off with, but there is a joy in suffering. There is a joy in serving too. You wanna get some joy? Help out with the love feast. You will get joy. Just a little thing in there, you will. There's joy in believing, and there's joy in all things. We're gonna cover one by one those things, but here's the lens that we wanna put over it. We're in this looking at the heart of an apostolic church. We want to see how the New Testament church functioned, that they understood that. We want to see how they embraced the apostolic. Paul was the apostolic oversight over Philippians. And we want to see also how they had a heart to partner with the apostolic. And in that, all over, actually, could you put the next slide up, please? I think I will use it. Mark showed us this slide here with the umbrellas. Can you just bang, 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 bang all the way through? So we've got them all up here. But those five umbrellas at the bottom there, encounter, engage, equip, empower. We want to see how they were actually living that out and how that we can put a handle on it for our lives. Okay. So Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Do you know that Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy? Talks about that in Hebrews 6. Think of that. Jesus anointed with the oil of joy. I think we are anointed with the oil of joy. So going back to, we read Philippians 1 to 19. Let's just go back through that. So look at that. And look at the language that Paul is using here. He's not saying, "Hi, how are you guys?" No, he is writing a letter, but you can actually get the intent. He's upbeat. He's saying, "Hey man, look at this, I'm making my prayer with joy." And he's thanking God in verse 3. He's making his prayer with joy in verse 4. He's holding in his heart, verse 7, that shows the apostolic care, that fatherly care over them. He longs for them. He sees, and that's in verse 8, he tells of his prayer for their love to abound in verse 9. He gives information about his situation, and now the reason why that was important to them, they had a heart for him so much that they had set a guy named Epaphroditus, okay? I'm gonna call him Epi, okay? We're gonna call him Epi, okay? So I don't have to say Epaphroditus every time, okay? They had sent this guy to Paul, who was most likely in Rome, in prison, okay? They had sent him with an offering, with a gift, for his sustenance and such. But this guy had stayed around there, and he had actually helped out there. So they had him go there. It tell. So, but Paul's language here, going back to that, his language, he was focused on the Philippians. He was saying, hey, I'm in prison, but you know what? It's okay. You know what? I'm in prison. Because I'm in prison, people are encouraged and they're more fearless about preaching the gospel, about extending God's kingdom. So, for us, in our suffering, even if we're in a place of suffering, whatever that might be, God can give us joy so that we can also be part of extending the kingdom of God. Look at what is also said in these verses about the church in Philippi. They're partnering in the gospel with him. So they're partnering in the apostolic. And they've done it from the first day to now. Isn't that wonderful? They didn't just have an experience and go, yeah, we had an experience. And then sort of that was it. But they've partnered right up to now. Even with the sending out of Epaphroditus there. Okay? They were partakers of grace. They defended and confirmed the gospel. I want us also, you're still in Philippians? Good? Stay there because we're going to be all over the place in Philippians today. Turn to Philippians 1:27-30. Excuse me. Paul says, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now I hear that I still have. Listen to that language right there. So he's saying, what struggle did Paul have when he first went to Philippi? He preached, he threw the demon out of the slave lady, and then everybody gathered around, they threw him in prison. Right? So Paul is saying that they're suffering in that way. So it sounds like maybe some of the people in the Philippian church were actually being thrown in prison itself. Because he says, what I had been, which was in Acts 16, and now here that I still have. So he's still in prison at this point. So what that means is that their concern for Paul was evident. He's explained the situation, why he's there, but also for them, they're also experiencing suffering. They're being persecuted for the gospel. Philippians 1:25-26, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ will overflow on account of me. They have joy in Christ. In the midst of their situation and in the midst of suffering, they have joy. They had partnered with Paul by continuing on the work that God had started in Paul. Remember what Mark said last week. Church started with a business lady and a jailer. How about that, eh? Wonderful. Isn't that God? That is just so wonderful. So for us, in our lives, because life happens, we get to, in the times when we're feeling like we're suffering, and we do suffer sometimes, that we can actually extend the kingdom. We can encounter God in those times. The last 3 years for me has been a time of encountering God. It's been in for our, the situation that Renda and I have been in, we know it's God. We know it's God. It is God. And the wonderful thing is all through it, God has been faithful to us. And there is the testimony. So the other thing too is don't forget that part of the apostolic is to equip leaders. So for us, how can leaders be equipped? Hey, there are life groups happening this Sunday and Tuesday. Great place to get equipped. Men's meeting. I heard the men had a wonderful time yesterday. I was not able to be there because I had to work, but my heart was there with the guys there. Wednesday night, there's an equipping. Sunday morning, when we experience and we encounter God like we did this morning, that's when God can build that character in us so that when we suffer, we can have joy. There's also a joy in serving. And we're still in Philippians. And let's look at the story of Epaphroditus. Okay. It's Philippians 2:25-29. There we go. And boy, this Bible print has got smaller over the years for me. For some reason. I don't know why. There. Okay. So, here we go. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you, and is distressed you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life, to make up for the help that you could not give me. Look at that, eh? This guy sounds like quite the guy. He actually labored so hard he got sick. Now, we are to be wise, but that shows to me this was a man who was sold out for what he was doing. He was sent out from the church at Philippi to Rome. He had a gift for Paul, and noticed how the church in Philippi actually was partnering with the apostolic there. They sent a gift, so they were supporting him monetarily, but not just from a monetary perspective, also from a resource perspective. They sent out a person there. The neat thing, too, is if you read in Acts 2, it's pretty clear that there are also, Paul, as he's gone out through his missionary journeys, and as he comes back, he actually takes people from the cities, and they become part of his team there. Matthew 23 says in verse 11 that Jesus said that the greatest among you will be your servant. God has called us to serve. And I can personally attest to the fact that there is a joy in serving. There is. It is an awesome privilege, and it is something that you get a joy when you do it. God gives you a joy. Let's flip over back to Philippians 2, verse 1 to 8. And we'll read that. If you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from His love, and if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. The heart of an apostolic church is that there is joy in serving when we look out for the interest of others. Right? The other thing too is, you know, can you imagine here, we're over in England. Sorry to mention England again, but it works. And we're a fly on the wall in the Queen's palace. And a servant comes up to the Queen, and the Queen says, I would like you to go get my Welsh corgis and take them for a walk. She's a big Welsh corgi fan. So being a doggy person, I know that. What would the servant do? Yes, Your Majesty. Bow. That. They wouldn't go, walk the dogs, oh no, they're going to probably, oh no, I'm going to have to, you know. They're not going to complain, and they're not going to grumble, right? So that's something that we don't do, that it talks about here, that when we do things, we do them intentionally, right? We do them so that We consider others better than ourselves. Wow. Think of that. If we walk our lives with thinking others better than ourselves, I think people will encounter God. Right? I think we'll encounter God. I think we'll have joy, too, there. And I'm just gleaning these things from this passage there. Verse 5 says that our attitude should be the same as Christ. We have a unity in purpose. So that our joy in serving, we don't do it for... When I serve, I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I want to. I want to. I wanna help out. I wanna see. There's something about being back in the sound booth and you see God moving on His people. And God shows you. He says, okay, do this little thing here. And then the worship level goes from here to there, you know? And then you're partnering with the musos itself. I'm just speaking from my own experience here. We should have the same love towards one another. Love is an essential thing in serving. We serve because of one thing. We love God. We love God. That's the reason why we serve. You can sum it up in that. It's that right there itself. We don't do it because of ambition. We don't do it because of vain conceit. Look at me. You know, I love the heart of people here. I love the hearts that folks have. They want to do things. They want to get engaged, right? We want to get engaged with what God is doing. I'm so excited about us reaching out to that new subdivision there. That's going to be wonderful. God's going to use us. Wouldn't it be wonderful if half of the people that are moving there all come here? Do you have faith for that? I have faith for that. Looks like about 30 families. I'll take 30 new families in here. Wonderful. For His glory. For His honor. For His praise. Not for us. You know, that's the reason why. In Philippians 2:14, I alluded to this. It says, do everything without complaining and arguing. So when we do things, we don't do it fresh and rest and rest and rest and rest, like the dog used to do in the cartoons, which I was far too old to remember. But for those that are maybe over 50, you might remember that dog who always did that. But anyway, I don't know where that came from. You remember? Oh, thanks, Michael. Thank you. Ephesians 2 says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for you. Do you know this week there are good works for you to do, for you to serve in, for you to help people in and show the life of Christ? We want people, we want to encounter God, but we also want to extend His kingdom. Right? If we're walking as servants, think of Jesus. How long could we go on about Jesus being serving? I have to move on here. Otherwise, I'm not going to get through here. But consider the Philippian church. They had joy and in their faith and salvation and joy in Christ. They experienced this even while people were locked up. What would we do if somebody came in and said, oh, no, we're taking 4 or 5 of you off to prison and we're going to just lock you up? What would we do? How would we handle it? I think God would give us the grace to handle it, but He'd also give us joy. So there's joy in serving. We've looked at joy in suffering. We've looked at joy in serving. Now there's joy in believing. How many people know when you come to know Christ? Hey, that's a good thing. Anyone else in the place where try and take Christ away from me, you might as well kill me? I'm there. I would not be able to be in the place I'm in today if it wasn't for that. If it wasn't for Christ. Okay. Let's look at Philippians 2:17 and 18. Paul says, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice in me. Notice that here, that sacrifice which could entail suffering and service, comes from faith, because of our faith. Everything's because of our faith. People, you notice how people are very careful about, you know, they're very careful about what they say about some of the other religions, but sometimes it seems like it's, you know, open season on Christianity. Do you want to know why, or what I've come to rationalize? It's because it's truth. And the enemy hates truth. Plain and simple. He will just do anything he can to make people not go to the truth itself. In Acts 16:34, the Philippian jailer and his family had great joy when they came to Christ. Right? Isn't that wonderful? Psalm 13, verses 5 and 6 says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good for me." Today, let's say, God has been good for us because we know Christ. And we know that we can experience him in his fullness today. Look at this wonderful passage in Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. Which says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body." Do you know that you are part of the body of Christ today? If you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you are part of the body of Christ today. And you can there is a joy that comes in our believing. There's a joy that comes when we extend the kingdom of God by just simply telling people, "Hey, this is what happened to me. I came to this place. God showed me this. I believed. I said, I surrender. I'm a new creature. I'm living forever. I have a joy that is because of that believing in God itself. Knowing who we are in Christ. Knowing that when everything seems to be out of control, he is in control. Think of the Philippian situation there. They could have gone, "Wow, this is crazy. Paul's in prison. We're in prison. But we're having these difficulties here." But they still had a joy. They wanted to extend the kingdom. And as we encounter God, we are filled with joy. Right? We're filled with joy. And how can you encounter God? Hey, psst, you have to believe. Right? You have to believe. When we say, "Come up to the front," who wants a touch from God? Who wants a touch from God? Who wants one? Who wants one? If anyone wants a touch from God, good. We have to believe that we say, okay, we say, "Yes, God." We just have to believe, right? We have to believe, right? Because otherwise, because it's when God works when we believe, when we just accept him at face value. Does God want to touch us? Yes, he does. Ooh, does he ever? Oh, does God ever want to touch us here? Lord, thank you, God. That's it. Just, Lord, release your joy. Lord, right now, Lord. Your word is wonderful to us, Lord, but release your joy in your people right now, Lord. Lord, for those that long for a touch, Lord. Lord, I pray for those that long for a touch, Lord, but just are afraid to even voice it, Lord. But you can hear, you know their thoughts, Lord. Would you just give them joy right now, Lord? Thank you, God. And we can have joy in all things. And I have 1 minute to finish this. Life happens, as we said. How many approach life as being an adventure? I do. I think life is an adventure. I think it's, I hope I live to 150. I'd love it if I did. I don't know if you guys would, but I would love it. That's for sure. I want to experience everything that there is in life. And in Philippians, let's turn to Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9, and just read this passage. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say rejoice. Again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Excuse me. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Always, at all times, in times of suffering, in the mountain times, we should rejoice. And have joy. When I say rejoice, the first thing I think of is being joyful. Right? I think of being joyful. There. Rejoice means, the word in the Bible, rejoice, it means calmly happy or well off. So sometimes when we rejoice, we jump up and down, we dance. But there's also a calmness that the presence of God and knowing God brings to us. That's why we want to encounter God in every situation, and we want to encounter God more and more. Right? We're free, we have freedom from fear and anxiety. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. How do people live in this world without God? Hey, we can have peace. Earthquakes here, this and that happening there. And look, you know, governments falling and this and that and everything. And we can have peace in the midst of it. We can know who we are in Christ. We can have that joy that brings a peace to us. We can rejoice. Rejoicing in God brings a peace to it. And you know, when we rejoice in God and we have that peace, it guards our hearts and minds. Right? So we don't need to win no lottery. I don't need to win a lottery. You know? I have the resources of heaven. I have the resources of heaven. God has been speaking to me about that. And we have those resources, every one of them. When you walk out here, know that you have the resources of heaven. Okay? So we can have peace. We can have that rest of God. Because we're in our position, we're living in our position, not our circumstance. That is a word that we need to just remember, because we always need to remember who we are in Christ, and no matter what is happening to us. Because how and what we think too will affect our perspective on life, right? Have you met the perpetual complainer? You know? Oh, the weather, it's cold. The weather's cold. Oh no, it's hot. It's too hot in the summer. Well, make up your mind. It's too cold in the winter, hot in the summer. Make up your mind. You know, like, oh, but rather, wow, isn't the clear, cold, crisp air wonderful today? Isn't it great, Lord? And isn't it wonderful when we get one of those hot, sticky, 33-degree days in the middle of summer? Yeah. yes, Lord. Yeah. But that's what Paul is talking about here. And that will affect, our perspective will affect how we have joy. And really, Paul's just saying here, think on the right things. You know, I don't think about the 267 or so no's I've got. I'm just looking for one yes. That's all for a job. It only takes one yes. And every one of those no's was God. How about that, eh? That's a bit different perspective. There. God's worked that in me. I live in that. I believe that. I believe that. There. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Rejoicing is always a mark of the disciple of Christ. I'm finishing now. I'm closing. I'm not doing what Paul said in verse 2. or chapter 2, chapter 2, where he said, I'm finishing off now. And then he wrote two more chapters in his letter. See, it even happens in letters too. But I hope what you've caught today is that the Philippian church had learned how to suffer in the midst of sorrowful situations. They had learned to have joy in suffering. They had learned how to have joy in areas in serving. So when they served, they had those things. They had joy there. They had joy in their salvation. They had joy in their believing, and they had joy in all things. They had learned to rejoice in all things. For us, as we walk this wonderful adventure that God has together in our relationship together, because that's what we have as a church. It's our relationship with one another together before God, with God, this way, and with each other. As we walk that out, let's let God encounter God so that we can have joy in suffering in what we're in. That we can serve. I can't tell you how much it's wonderful to serve. And can I just say one more little thing with regards to serving? God's just dropped this in your hat. Giving is an essential part of serving. And I want to tell you, and I can testify, that when you give, whether it be time, or you give to your brothers and sisters that are in need, you see a need. If you see a need, don't wait for someone else. It's probably God has shown you the need. Meet the need. But there is a joy. I love it when we've done a couple of times, we've given people money. I love it because God gives you joy when you do it. We don't do it because God gives us joy. That's not our motivation. Our motivation is obedience. It's always obedience. God says, do this. And we say, yes, God, because He's our King. Right? But I want to testify to the fact that there is a joy in giving too. Okay? And that is part of serving. Serving and giving are like two partners, two rails like that. Thank you for listening to me today. And Lord, I just pray that your people will be full of your joy. Lord, you know the circumstances of everyone in this room. You know the things that they're struggling with. Lord, you know the things that are sorrowing over, Lord. And I thank you that right now that you will impart joy in every circumstance, in every situation. And Lord, as we walk out this adventure together in a team, Lord, where we're all part of the A team, Lord, your team, Lord, that we will just walk out with more joy and more joy, more of you, encountering you. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to extend your kingdom. Thank you.